Residents in the regional Queensland town of Bilawila are mounting a last-ditch lobbying campaign to stop the deportation of a Sri Lankan family. This Tamil family includes two young girls, were removed from Bilawila in March last year, you might remember. They've been in an immigration detention centre in Broadmeadows in Melbourne ever since, after their applications for asylum were rejected. Several complaints have now been lodged with Victoria's Children's Commissioner over the plight of the young girls, one of whom is going to require surgery to treat her rotten teeth. She's 2 years old. Friends and advocates are now trying to persuade the Immigration Minister, David Coleman, to give this family a reprieve. Angela Fredericks is a Bilawila local and a friend of this family. Angela, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me, Fran.
I understand you're in regular, if not daily, contact with the family, who could be removed at any time now. Do you have any indication, do they have any indication of what is likely to happen, the timeline here?
We have no timeline whatsoever, and I think that just adds to the psychological torture that this family goes through on a daily basis.
Angela, there had been health concerns, particularly about the two young girls, Tanika and Kopika, who were aged just 1 and 4, or 2 and 4, I think. Tanika, we saw some images of her teeth. She's got terrible dental problems. Overall, how is their health? How are they?
Oh, look, the girls, from a health, physical health perspective, Tanika struggles to eat solids. Her mouth gets so swollen with infection that she can't eat. So she requires dental surgery to fill 4 of those, and that is purely because of a case of malnutrition. So this is nothing that the parents have done. This is not having adequate access to fresh fruit and veggies. And then we're also looking at behavioural disorders, lack of, not sleeping, lack of socialisation. So both girls were very concerned about their immediate well-being, but the impact this is going to have on their future development.
They've been seen by a paediatrician very recently, I understand. Are you saying, and is the paediatrician saying, that these behavioural issues and these vitamin deficiencies are because of their time in detention? That they're different from how they were before?
Oh, most definitely. These two girls were completely healthy, normal development, beautiful little girls before they went into detention. And it's been due to the conditions. They've had disruption to their attachment, just their basic emotional needs have not been able to be met due to the environment. And so this ultimately, it's a direct impact on detention.
The family, their parents, fled to Australia by boat. They started a life in Bilawila. They lived there for 4 years. They had work. They were members of the community. They've spent more than the last year in a detention centre. And basically, their options have run out. During the election campaign, opposition leader at the time, Bill Shorten, said if Labor won, he would have their case re-examined for ministerial intervention. Now, obviously, he can't be doing that now. But is that their only hope now, ministerial intervention, the minister stepping in and saying yes to the people of Bilawila, yes, okay, they can stay?
Yes, it is. And it's been a long-standing feature of the Australian immigration system that the minister has the power to grant a visa where it's in the public interest. And in this case, it's definitely in the public interest of the community of Bilawila. We need people like Nadez to fill an industry where we have labour shortages. We need these children to attend our schools. That all brings our population growth. So it's definitely in this case in the public interest to intervene.
In January this year, the Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton said, and I'm quoting, the family have gone through multiple court processes at every single turn. They're found not to be refugees. They were told before they had children that they were not going to settle in Australia, and they resisted that at every turn. That doesn't sound promising, and neither do the latest comments from Australian Border Force. Do you have any indication, any sign at all for hope that the minister may intervene on their behalf and allow them to stay? And why should they? What is the argument for this family that they should be treated differently?
Yeah. And look, I think there's a whole catalogue of legislation that has been introduced by government that's designed to punish people seeking asylum. And we don't have the scope to discuss that today. But our dear friends, they've been caught in this web of cruelty, and our minister can, with a stroke of a pen, release them to community. And we've seen them done this previously. Even just prior to the election, Minister Coleman used those powers to grant release for people in detention. And I guess that's the case. This is, we need to look at individuals that are caught up in these black and white policies. And this family, they have contributed, they've paid taxes, they're doing no harm here, they're integrated, they're skilled. We want them in this community, and community sentiment should mean something.
Yeah, you've delivered a petition called Home to Bailoa to the Immigration Minister, David Coleman, with 190,000 signatures on it. Have you been able to speak to the minister yourself? Have you got to the minister? Have you got any sense of why this family hasn't been just quietly allowed to stay, given that community support?
I haven't spoken to the minister directly. There have been other people who have spoken to staffers, so we know that they are aware of this case. I guess now that Coleman has been returned, the immigration portfolio, and we would hope that now that the election's over, we've all always said this should be a bipartisan humanitarian issue, not a party political issue. But now that the election is over and done with, we hope that we can move forward and we can actually grant this family peace of mind and return them home to Billawilla.
And Angela, just briefly, we're nearly at the news, but does the community, it's a year now since they've left. I know you're still very engaged and the Home to Billawilla petition, as I say, is going gangbusters, but is the community still very engaged with this? Do they still care about this family?
Oh, definitely. Not a day goes past where this family is not discussed. And I think just the complete disbelief that this has gone on for so long. And if anything, it just grows people's support that something needs to happen and we need to get this family home to Billawilla.
Angela Fredericks, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Fran.
Angela Fredericks is a Billawilla local. She's basically the spearheading this campaign, Home to Billawilla campaign. Nearly 200,000 signatures. Their legal avenues are exhausted. They tried to get before the High Court. That's just been knocked back. So they've got no more legal opportunities. Their only chance is a ministerial intervention.